Good morning, everybody. What a beautiful day. I was a little worried throughout the weekend that this worship service wouldn't happen outside, at least. So we can be very thankful for what's present, where we are today, and the sunshine that the Lord has certainly made for us. So this morning's scripture comes out of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it's 1 through 12. Let's go to the Word of God now and see what He has to share with us. This is Paul's message of wisdom to the people. It says the following: "When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling. And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God Almighty. Yet, when I am among mature believers," Paul says, "I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world, who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, His plan that was previously hidden, even though He made it for our ultimate glory before the world ever began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord and Savior. This is what the Scriptures mean when they say the following: no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit. We have not received the world's spirit. We have received God's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given to us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this morning's sermon title is entitled, "It's Real and It Awaits." In light of the past several weeks, our congregation has experienced significant loss. During this time, I have had on many occasions to speak about and think about eternity. In fact, the issue comes up in Bible study almost every week. And with that, I will invite each of you to come and enjoy that study with us. But however, I wanted to speak on eternity as it is and it should be a part of our priority in life. Frankly, eternity is a subject we do not talk about enough. The first thing I must do this morning is to declare to you an indisputable fact. We must do this as we begin. Everyone who is living and breathing today and who is present here or not has the opportunity to work towards their own eternity. However, you must know there are two separate eternities. They come, obviously, following our death. I didn't misspeak. There are two separate eternities. And this morning, the choice is ours. A pastor once visited an older man who was a member of his congregation. And during that visit, the pastor said to the older gentleman, "At your age, you probably should be thinking about the hereafter." The older gentleman replied, "Oh, I do, all the time, Pastor. More than most people know. Actually, it's nothing for me to think about what is going to happen. And really, doesn't matter where I'm at when I think about it. I can be in the living room, upstairs, in the kitchen, or down in the basement. I frequently think about it in the garage, and I especially think about it in the bathroom. Almost daily, I find myself asking myself, especially looking in the mirror, what am I here after?" The older gentleman replied, "What am I here after?" In spite of the older gentleman's misunderstanding of the pastor's statement of hereafter, the hereafter is real. And it exists in two completely independent forms. The first is eternity in our deserved home. Hear me clearly. The first one is eternity in our deserved home. Scholars in Scripture call this place hell. The second is eternity in our reserved home. Scholars in Scripture call this place heaven. And Jesus calls this the Father's house. Even as Christians, most of us just don't think about heaven. The fact is, we can watch television for a whole year, read the newspaper day after day, engage in conversation with thousands of people, and even talk to folks on the other side of the world. And likely during those observations and conversations, the subject doesn't even surface. It's simply not on our priority list. And make no mistake, it should be. This is extremely hard for me to understand as a man of faith. But then again, when giving it great thought and deep insight, when I take into account the distracted world we live in today, it simply falls short in the minds of almost everyone. And what's challenging is it falls short in the minds of the people like us who believe in it most. Heaven is difficult to envision because it is so different from what we experience here on earth today. It truly is hard for us to comprehend it and imagine it. Furthermore, heaven is such an elusive concept because we are swamped with things here on earth. Every day we are squeezed by life's pressures, our jobs, our finances, our schedules, and our relationships. Perhaps we don't think about it, heaven, because it brings painful realities to this community and to this church. We have lost a pillar, and it brings back painful thoughts. In the church that I just left, they lost a matriarch. It brings back painful thoughts. It's a reality in our lives. For all the glory that heaven promises us, heaven reminds us that we are not going to live forever. We are going to die someday and leave our loved ones behind. And when we do, we're going to stand before a righteous and a holy God and give an account of our own lives. Accountability is a word we don't like. And many people would say, "Wait a minute, I forgot about that part when I see the Lord." Accountability. Most people don't like to talk about accountability. But we must talk about it, and we must think about it, because heaven is real. For it is our potential future. Regardless of whether you want to talk about it, we don't travel far in our lives before we bump into it. Just in the last 2 weeks, for me personally, I've had three bumps in life, death, and heaven. This morning I want to ask several questions that I hope stimulate your Christian thought process and your minds and your faith. Does heaven matter? That's a question you have to answer for yourself. Believe it or not, modern public opinion, even today, polls show that the most Americans not only believe in God, but also anticipate some kind of heavenly existence. Among these believers, 3 out of 4 rate their chances of getting to heaven good to excellent. That's interesting to me. So if 3 out of 4 people believe it exists and find their chances to be good to excellent, I find it bizarre that we simply ignore heaven, acting most of the time as it doesn't matter. So does heaven matter? Skeptics widely reject the Christian's hope of a heavenly end. So the answer is, absolutely, it matters. Statistics alone people believe that it matters. Those who have assured themselves of eternal life in heaven are more satisfied with their present day life. That's a statistic. The certainty of heaven helps us cope with the uncertainties of daily life here on earth. Only those who are ready to die are truly prepared to live. Question number 2. Where will you be 1 minute after you pass? Death. Now there is something we definitely don't talk about. We definitely don't want to face it. And we certainly don't hold conversations about it. But we must. Everyone here today has an appointment that we will not miss. Even me, who is traditionally late to most appointments, won't miss this appointment. C.S. Lewis observed the statistics on death, and he declared this. They were impressive, he said. So far, it's 1 out of every 1 sees it. We are faced with the reality of dying every second of every day. We just don't talk about it, and we don't think about it. As Christians, we should discuss death a lot, because in Christ Jesus, death is not our final destination. If I polled everyone here sitting in this beautiful outdoor chapel, we would all say that our beloved Dr. Moore is in heaven. Jesus conquered death, and thus so has He, and thus so will you. Our passing is only a doorway to our final destination. So the question is not, will we die? That's a fact. The ultimate question is, where will you be 1 minute after you pass? Jesus said, there are 2 roads in life. And Trevor and I talked about that this morning. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who go through it. Come in through the narrow gate. This is a difficult road that leads to life, and a few only find it. Make no mistakes, friends. The road is broad, and that broad road leads to judgment, destruction, and hell, a destiny and an eternity none of us want. The narrow road, on the other hand, leads to heaven. Traveling on this road is difficult because it goes against the grain of today's society. The tide of all pleasures. And it certainly goes against the sins of the world. On this road, there is a sense of destiny, though. A distinction of hope and an assurance of something better to follow than the earthly existence we have today. Even though, for most of us, our earthly existence is good, heaven is great. Our motto as Christians is simply, the best is yet to come. So my question again is, which road are you on this morning? The broad or the narrow? Question 3, what right have we to enter heaven? Every person 1 minute after they die will have to answer this question. Why do some people believe that they have a paid ticket to heaven? Why do some people think that they can walk down the road leading to hell only to wind up in heaven when they pass? This belief is inaccurate and frankly, utterly ridiculous. In fact, to keep doing the same things you have always done, expecting different results and outcomes, is the essence of stupidity, and quite frankly, the definition of insanity. Many answers can be given for why one may feel they have the right to enter heaven when they pass. Some people say, just look what I've done on earth. My record is pretty good as compared to some. I'm a good man. I'm a good lady. I'll be in heaven because I live such a wonderful and good life. These mindsets are wrong. And to be absolutely honest, these people are in trouble. For the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one lives a life that is good enough. Earthly good is simply not good enough to enter heaven. Now, I certainly don't want to discourage you this morning from doing good things, but know the good that you do is not your ticket to heaven. The good news is there is nothing we can do that is bad enough to keep us out of heaven. And the bad news is there is nothing we can do good enough to get us into heaven. Only one answer will give a person the certain privilege. You see, it's not a right to go to heaven. It's a privilege to go to heaven. When we go to heaven, we will experience the joy of entering that gate. We will hear the trumpet sound because we believe in Jesus Christ and have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. That is the only answer that will grant anyone entrance into heaven. It is not our right. It is our privilege. Our entrance is not guaranteed because of what we have done, but it is most certainly guaranteed because of what Jesus Christ has done. Jesus has purchased your ticket, paid your fare. He died on the cross so that you could enter debt-free. If you remember the question earlier I asked, what right do you have? Again, friends, we have no right. But because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we have the privilege, the hope, and the certainty of entering heaven. This leads me to my final question. Have you made preparations for heaven? A little girl, after her father's funeral, asked her mother, Mom, where's Dad? The mother answered, Daddy's in heaven. Will we ever see him again? She asked her mom. Yes, we will go there one day, replied the mother. The little girl immediately got up, and after a while, she came out of her room with a suitcase. What are you doing? Asked the mother. Well, if we're going to see Dad, I think we ought to be ready, don't you? Out of the mouth of babes comes the honest truth. The little girl in this story is spot on. I remember watching some time ago a TV special hosted by the Gaither Vocal Band. And in this homecoming special, George Yonts was singing his last performance of his 40-year career with the gospel band, The Cathedrals. George later died, But what he said on that stage that night, I've never truly forgotten. George leaned over to his daughter and said, "You know, I have more days behind me than I do in front of me. That I know. But if our Lord and Savior returns tonight, my bags are packed and my house is in order." Friends, is your house in order? Remember, our tomorrow isn't promised, and heaven is ready and there's room for you. Scripture promises you that room. Have you made your reservations today? Do you have your bags packed? The entrance into heaven is not limited to one ethnic group or one denomination or certainly a social status we may hold or the type of person we claim to be. The gate will open on the narrow road. And you have to have a repenting and accepting heart, and you too shall enter. Jesus Christ opens his arms to all and says, "I can take you to heaven if you come on the narrow road, trusting in what I did on the cross and accepting the free gift of my grace." You may know this story about a pastor teaching a bunch of kids at a vacation Bible school. Maybe you've been told this story before. The pastor asked the children, "How many of you want to go to heaven?" Everybody's hand shot up, apart from one little boy on the front row. The pastor looked at him and said, "Son, don't you want to go to heaven when you die?" The little boy said, "When I die? I thought you were getting up a group to go right now." Maybe we are a little bit like this young boy. Heaven seems like a good prospect for the future, but you wouldn't want to go right now. So I leave you with this final statement and thought. I caution you not to be like this little boy. What if your last day of your future isn't tomorrow? What if it's today? Are your bags packed? Is your house in order? In Scripture, we see when Jesus confronts the disciples, he tells them this: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going," Jesus asked. As we know in the story of Scripture, they questioned him. So I question you. Do you know? Heaven is real, and it awaits. And if you remember nothing that I said this morning, nothing at all, you remember this final statement. Heaven has been prepared for each one of us by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Heaven awaits us, but only for us who are His prepared people. Are you prepared? Are your bags packed? Is your house in order? Amen.